Richard Herring's Objective, the show in which Richard takes a contentious object and reassesses what it means to us and why. For this Edinburgh special, Richard has selected an object widely available in Scotland, the tartan hat with nylon ginger hair attached, popularly referred to as the See You Jimmy wig.
It's Richard Herring's Objective, and please welcome Richard Herring.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Edinburgh. Hello, and welcome to Richard Herring's Objective, the show that reputes to take an object imputed with disrepute and commute the dispute with me to depute and permute and reroute its repute. This special edition of the programme is coming to you from a big tent that the BBC have constructed at your expense at the Edinburgh Fringe. Because if there's one thing that Edinburgh was short of at this time of the year, it's a venue, right? That's... As always, I'm assisted by the star of ITV's Planet Mirth, a show so popular they had to put it out at 2 a.m. to give the other programmes a chance. It's TV's Emma Kennedy!
Hello.
You all right, Emma?
Yeah, fine, thanks.
So, as it's an Edinburgh special, we're going to be reclaiming a contentious Scottish object this week, and I can already hear the uncomfortable shuffling of bekilted legs and the clanking of disgruntled sporrans. And this Oxbridge-educated Sassenach come up from London with his prissy radio for cronies telling us about what being Scotch is about. I'm afraid that's what you sound like, but don't worry. It's always difficult when you hear someone else doing your voice, I know. Don't worry, I know I sound English, but I'm currently appearing in my 20th Edinburgh Fringe, which means I've lived in this city for nearly 2 years of my life, which makes me 1/22 Scotch. Which is why, if I see any small children in the street, I stop their mother and say, "Ah, oh, look at your little son. How old is he?"
"Och, wee Jimmy's 19 months old now."
19 months are you, Jimmy?
Aye.
And was he born here in Edinburgh?
Okay, Edinburgh born and proud as our Jimmy.
So you've lived your whole life in Edinburgh, Jimmy. You think you're Scotch, don't you?
Aye, I am a Scot.
Well, I've lived in Edinburgh for 20 months. That's right, 20 months, which means wee Jimmy, I am more Scotch than you. You think you're all Scotch, don't you, with your tartan bonnet and your ginger hair and your baby bottle full of iron brew?
It's better for your bairn than dug milk.
Well, screw you, Jimmy, because I am more Scotch than you. 1 month more Scotch than you.
Oh, no. My babby's less Scottish than an Englishman. You've disgraced our family, Jimmy. I'm going to have to leave you on a hillside to fend for yourself.
Mammy!
It's for your own good than new. Death is better than being less Scottish than an Englishman. Peter Tinker Stone of Scoon. But you cannot take freedom!
That's right. In this way, I'm going to wipe out all the Scottish children like an Edinburgh King Herod. The Scottish race will dwindle and then die, defeated by their own national pride and hatred of the English. Take that, William Wallace! Although there is the danger all those children will go feral in the wild and be doubly as Scottish as they were before. That's the danger. And come back and get me. But enough of attempting to foment an Anglo-Scottish war. The point is, I'm partly Scottish and thus an apt spokesman for this fine nation. If we'd wanted to stir up even more ill feeling and ensure I don't leave Scotland alive, I could suggest that the Stone of Scone is English, due to the irrefutable law of finders keepers. Or elaborate on my theory that Greyfriars Bobby was not as thought a small Scottish dog who loyally sat on the grave of his master, but a small and embarrassing Scottish man who sat on the grave of a dog. But there is an even more contentious item to be discussed, so let's see what object we're going to be objective about this week.
The See You Jimmy hat.
Yep, och aye, the See You Jimmy hat, or as I will be calling it, the Jimmy hat, partly because that's easier to say, but mainly because that has a double meaning in Scotland that I don't think the stupid English Radio 4 censors will be aware of. The English idiots. Are you with me, fellow Scots? It's a novelty item for sale in tourist shops, which consists of a cartoon-like tartan tam-o-shanter hat or bonnet, but with an hilarious ginger hair bit attached to the back. It's literally priceless. Actually, it's literally £3.99. Or £4.99 if you get one that plays music. You put it on your head and you look Scottish because that's what everyone in Scotland looks like, right? You can't walk down Socky Hall Street in Glasgow without bumping into 100 men in tartan hats with unkempt nylon ginger hair sticking out the back. I am trying the hat on now. There it is, I'm putting... Oh, I'm becoming Scottish. It's weird, I really fancy some heroin right now. Get this thing off me! This is awful! It's almost the most racially offensive item you could imagine, yet it's readily for sale in Scottish shops. It's like going to Jerusalem and finding a shop selling broad-brim black hats with fake ringlets coming down the side and a gigantic nose attached to the front and a sticker on the back which says, Oy vey, I love money. That is... That wouldn't be countenanced by the Israelis, and yet the Scottish don't even seem to complain, which seems bizarre, because the Scottish usually do not put up with anyone mocking their national stereotype. In fact, I guarantee you that dozens of people are writing furious missives to the BBC right now because I referred to the Scots as Scotch in the first sketch. I did it deliberately, you idiots, to prove the point I was making about how seriously the Scots will take themselves, and also because one of my ex-girlfriends works in the complaints department of the BBC, and I wanted to make her life miserable. How do you like it, Amanda? I'm not saying that all Scottish people are humorous about their Scotchness. Believe me, there are certainly English people who can't take a joke about themselves. They're called Liverpudlians. Busy day for you, is it, Amanda? But... Just that there is a vociferous minority who will make a fuss about things like this, and yet the Jimmy hat still remains on sale. I went to one of the shops that sells this to find out what was going on. It's called the Pride of Scotland, which is, you know, is an interesting name for this shop. Outside, it's kind of just full of I Love Scotland hoodies and tartans. There's a big rack of Jimmy hat. It blasts out just kind of generic bagpipe music into the street. This is the Pride of Scotland. I went to talk to the manager. How do you choose which items come into the shop here at the Pride of Scotland? Do they have to pass a test of Scottishness to get in?
Well, the stuff which I'm selling is the Scottish stuff. It's absolutely kind of Scottish wear, which represents ancient time of Scotland. How do people used to live over there, used to wear a kilt, generally because there were no machines to make trousers or something like that?
Yeah, that's the reason they wore kilts, because of the lack of trouser machines. In England, we have loads of trouser machines, and they're going, please let us have some trouser machines. No, you're going to have to just wear a kilt. Sorry about that. This is one of the items you sell in your shop. It's the CU Jimmy hat. Is it a popular item?
Jimmy is very much popular for this hat with a tam on his top and this kind of hair. So that's really very funny. People going to pubs and all, making birthday parties, going to nightclubs, they generally prefer these things.
Do you feel it represents Scotland, this hat?
Well, yeah, I do.
Apparently it does. It's the Pride of Scotland. Is it what Scotland should be most proud of, though? Do you not think if it's the Pride of Scotland... There's lots of things Scotland have done that they could be more proud of than the Jimmy hat, though. What about... Do you have anything to do with Tarmac Adam in here? Do you have any tarmac that was invented in Scotland?
Not really. We don't have that kind of stuff, to be very honest with you.
What about penicillin? Do you sell penicillin in the shop? That's another Scottish invention.
No.
Do you have anything celebrating Robbie Burns in the shop?
Yeah, when I was at Robbie Burns, I don't remember the name of the celebration, the Robbie Burns birthday. Yeah,
Burns night.
Burns night, exactly. Sorry for that. We were having a lot of stuff regarding that. Even got audio CDs of his poems and kind of big posters of Robbie Burns.
He doesn't know what Burns night is called. The Pride of Scotland. Let's see what else they don't sell in the shop. Yeah. Have you considered selling microwaves? They were invented in Scotland. Maybe the Scottish people should be proud of that.
Yeah, probably if any company can provide me a microwave at tartan.
Tartan. It has to be in tartan, though. So I only want them if it's tartan on the outside, though. It has to be decorated in tartan. So is the Jimmy hat the thing that Scotland should be most proud of? Surely, if it's a Scottish invention, it just shows the country has a good sense of humour, so maybe it is a good thing to have. It's been adopted, for example, in the past by Scotland's football fans, the Tartan Army. So where did this hat originate? I personally believed it had been invented by William Wallace at the Battle of Stirling Bridge. That's not where it originally started. In fact, there seems to be no history of the wig being commercially available until the 1990s, which I was surprised about. It's produced by Thistle Products of Dalbeattie Dumfries, who in the 1990s were making up to 7,000 of these hats every week. Their director, Jim Boardman, insists the CU Jimmy hats were his idea. He said in a newspaper interview,
I came up with the idea in the early 1990s after seeing a clown wig with red hair.
Seems a bit of a leap, doesn't it? We've all seen a clown wig, but that doesn't immediately make us think of attaching it to some tartan to make a racially dubious hat. Is this not a bit like Jim Boardman saying...
Back in 1975, I was looking at a typewriter, and it gave me the idea for the iPad. I invented that.
It seems a bit of a thin explanation. And if he did invent it, why did he call it the See You Jimmy hat? Isn't that the catchphrase of Russ Abbott's character, who is also called See You Jimmy? None of Abbott's sketches have ever been heard in Scotland before for fear of inciting an uprising, but I'm brave enough to come up here and play this in to the Scottish people for the first time. I hope it doesn't offend you too much.
Next! Ah, Mr. See You Jimmy.
See you. Well, we'd like you to imagine you are the British Rail announcer at King's Cross and, well, just read what's on the card, eh?
Aye, right then, here we go. I couldn't understand a single word.
Nor me.
Congratulations, Mr. Jimmy, you've got the job.
Although affectionately portrayed, is the See You Jimmy character and the Jimmy hat a stereotype that the Scottish want to encourage? To discuss that, will you please welcome Glasgow-born comedian Susan Kalman, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is, redressing the balance. Susan, what do you make of this wig? Is this...
Well, first of all, congratulations on your accent.
Thank you. It was good.
Literally, I could take you to Glasgow now and ask you to order something in Greggs, and I'm sure you'd be absolutely fine.
I do like going to Glasgow because I get a bit giddy if I get more than 30 metres from a Greggs. So it is... What do you think of this hat? Do you think that represents Scotland?
No. I think that's the short answer. I don't think it does represent... And oddly enough... Apart from the tartan army, very rarely do I go out of an evening and find a Scottish person wearing a See You Jimmy hat. It's just not something, it doesn't compliment many outfits and makes you look like an utter idiot, to be honest. And surprisingly, contrary to what some people believe, the Scottish are not in fact idiots at all. The people who buy that from England, they're idiots.
Why is it being sold? This is a made by a Scottish firm, sold in Scotland. Why are the Scotland perpetuating this sort of stereotype?
I don't know why, because, I mean, I find it odd, as you were saying earlier on, why nobody objects to it. Why nobody... Because, I mean, when you see someone wearing that, you don't go up to them and go, take that off, you're an embarrassment to yourself, you're an embarrassment to your family. Do people know you're wearing that hat? And no one goes into the Pride of Scotland. Well, no one Scottish goes into the Pride of Scotland, I think is the point. The shops that sell suits of armour on the Royal Mile, I don't know anyone Scottish who's gone, you know what I really need? Suit of armour. And I don't know why we've never risen up as one, probably because we can't be arsed. But I've no idea why we haven't risen up and gone, take off the shelves. I find it offensive. I do find it quite offensive. Yeah. Surprisingly, Scottish people aren't that different from other people. Maybe that's what it's... I'm sharing a flat with someone at the Edinburgh Festival and they went, do you get Channel 4 here? For some reason, people think that we don't have electricity, even though we invented it, essentially. It's very odd.
Do you get Channel 4 here?
No.
I'm hoping you don't get Radio 4, because I do have to come back up here on tour.
That See You Jimmy stuff that Russ Abbott used to do, that's really funny, but really offensive, because I've been on Radio 4, I've been allowed on a couple of times, and I think people understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're just nodding.
Sorry. About half past three.
Yes,
at the moment.
What? Emma can't understand. I think the confusing thing is the tartan army wears it, partly so no one can be individually identified when they've been... He's like, where's Wally? They're everywhere! But you don't see English football supporters dressed in Morris dancers' outfits.
So what do you think would better represent Scotland? Do you think there's anything that, or any person that's represented in Scotland?
Well, it's very difficult to think of one person. Robert Burns is an interesting one, because he wasn't just a kind of... People think he's some form of drunken philanderer, and he was as well, but he was one of the greatest minds that we've ever had in the country, some of his letters about the political situation. So maybe we should reclaim Burns. Maybe that's what we should be doing, reclaim what Burns actually was, instead of just this kind of twee poet. He was actually a radical political thinker.
James Napier, who invented the decimal point. Scottish people like to be very precise about figures.
That may be a bit more of a tough sell.
Just before you go, I'd like to just to see, you're quite Scottish at the moment, but I just want to see if putting this hat on, this is a bit like the black and white minstrel show in the night. So it's a bit like when Lenny Henry was on the black and white minstrel show. Go on, it's a laugh, Susan. There we
go. Hey! Okay, the new.
Looks good.
Does it look good?
It really looks good.
Do I look more Scottish?
Just slightly
more. Does it look like I have a knife fracture? You do, you become more Scottish, you do. Don't you? Yes, I can't even believe it.
Okay,
I'm
Ladies and gentlemen, Susan Calvin redressing the balance. But the Jimmy hat not only mocks the whole of Scotland, it's also an affront to the manufacturers and wearers of Tam O'Shanters, a hat with a proud military history and also the subject of a poem by Robbie Burns. The name itself comes from a character in that poem. So the Jimmy hat is offensive to the usually disparate groups of soldiers, poetry fans and milliners. That is quite an achievement. But surely it's also upsetting to anyone with ginger hair, because it's not just Scottishness that's being trampled on here. It's another reinforcement of the idea that if your hair is russet in tone, then you are somehow ridiculous. How can the colour of your hair be inherently amusing, yet anyone with ginger hair has to endure a barrage of name-calling?
I got a lot of abuse for it, because not only was I ginger, I was also 4'9" through my teenage years. Not a lot of love for those sort of people.
I think other kids find it kind of funny. It's normally old people who tell you you have nice hair, and you just think you're weird.
I get some abuse for my ginger beard. Usually people just point it out when I'm at a low ebb.
I think mainly it's ginger and then another insult. So ginger poof or ginger other thing that I can't say because obviously you're on the radio.
Mostly just ginger, ginger.
Carrot top is quite a famous one.
Flame head. Well, chill out, mate, your head's on fire.
Carrot top, ginger nut, ginger minger even. Ginger face, carrot face.
Carrot top. That's about the only one that sticks in my mind, to be honest. I didn't have very imaginative friends.
Literally thousands of these names. Ginge, Ginger, Ginger Nuts, Carrot Top, Duracell, Rusty Nuts, Agent Orange. I mean, I could go on. Bushfire, What's Ahead, Copper Crutch, Fanta Pubes, Flamey Cranium. The list is endless, it really is. So many terms for red hair, and they're all quite rude. How many epithets can you think of for a brown-haired person? Brunette? Mousy. I mean, there's lots of things that are brown that you could do rude things about, and yet they don't get that if you're brown head. Or if you're a blonde. Blondie, blonde bombshell, dumb blonde. There's hardly any. Why do the Foxy Locks ginger balls get all this comedic abuse? It's actually an historical prejudice which saw redheads burned alive in ancient Egypt, tortured and killed in 15th century Germany, where they were believed they were witches. There's a French proverb.
Redhead women are either violent or false, or usually both.
In some folklores, redheads are said to have been conceived during their mother's menstruation. There's a Welsh saying...
If he's redheaded, he's of the devil.
Other cultures have seen redheads as vampires or werewolves. Judas Iscariot is often portrayed as a ginger. Are they some kind of supernatural different species? Where did gingers come from? I asked Jonathan Rees, professor of dermatology in Edinburgh. Hold on, you thought dermatology was about skin, didn't you? So why am I asking about hair? Because hair is just skin, you idiots. Didn't you even know that? I did. He was part of the team that discovered the red hair gene.
So where does red hair historically crop up and why?
Well, the best story in town is that red hair's a way of having pale skin. Mm-hmm. And that at some time in the past, somewhere between 20 and 40,000 years ago, people moved out of Africa, and it seems as though pale skin was an advantage if you were not living in a tropical climate. Red hair is just one way of getting pale skin.
But is it a mutation of the gene that has created it?
Yeah, it depends whether you want to call people mutants or not. A lot of people don't like being called mutants. You can say, we tend to use the word variant. So, yeah. But yeah, it is a change in the gene that means a particular molecule doesn't work properly. And if that molecule doesn't work properly, you can't produce as much melanin, the brown pigment in your skin.
But sometimes, like in the case of Prince Harry, he's got red hair, but his mum and dad have blonde hair and brown hair, by all accounts. So why did that happen?
Yes. Well, red hair approximates to what you call a recessive trait. That is, people can be carriers. And in the UK, maybe 30 to 40% of people are carriers. So it's going to happen quite often that both parents, neither of them has red hair, and roughly a quarter of the kids will have red hair.
That makes it sound a bit like a disease, though, if they're carrying this...
Well, it's not a disease, it's just a variant in the sense that some people are taller, some people are shorter. Mm-hmm. It depends on what environment you're in, whether something's good or bad news. If there's not much sunshine around, pale skin seems to be preferable.
So how did you discover this red-haired gene in the first place?
Well, people have been studying pigment genes, genes for skin colour in mice for a long time, because you can make mice do certain things that humans, you can't persuade them usually to do, crosses between certain mice and so on. So people had noticed a yellow mouse, it's quite famous, and somebody worked out what the gene causing that yellow colour was. And yellow is sort of analogous to red for reasons we don't really understand. So when people got the gene in the mouse, then we sort of then found the gene in human and sequenced the DNA and found that people with red hair seem to have changes in the gene. That's how we got it.
So would you say that Scottish people form when a human being had sex with a mouse?
That's probably outside my expertise, but I think you want a strong no on that one.
Do you think that possibly red hair, because it's come up recently, if it is a mutation, could it be, and the next evolutionary step, could they actually be evolving into a different species of people, and could red hair people actually be a different, not human, well, exactly?
We've said this is a recent adaption,
yeah.
And I'm sure Mr. Salmon would make the point that they're even more at a finer level of human evolution than people south of the border.
Right.
Definition of species is, as long as people can breed, then it's one species.
So some people, like my friend David Gorman, have brown hair but a ginger beard.
Mm-hmm.
Why has that happened?
We don't really know. You see differences in hair colour on different body positions in a lot of animals. And if you look at people who have red beards and dark hair, they're more likely to carry one change in this red hair gene.
That's quite interesting. So might that be the next X-Men? It wouldn't be a very good X-Men film if it was just I've got different colour hair on my head than I have on my body.
X-Men film?
X-Men, you know, the X-Men, their mutations. Come on, you must be. No. You must watch the X-Men. You're into genetics. I'll get you the DVD. It's about, you know, they're the next stage of human evolution.
Okay.
I think it's. I'm not sure if it's a documentary or just based on a true story.
You must have been watching the rugby.
Magneto and stuff. There's a new generation of people, and they all have magic powers.
I'll have to do some more research into this matter.
Having ginger hair would be a disappointing mutation to have to admit to in the X-Men mansion.
Hi, I'm Rogue. I can temporarily assume the powers of any mutant I touch.
I'm Wolverine. I have superhuman powers and adamantine claws.
I am Storm. I can manipulate the weather and also have especially nice bazoomas.
Yeah, you do.
Hello, I'm Ian. My mutation is that I've got ginger hair.
Really? What power does that give you?
Well, no power. Are you feeling okay, Storm? Well, no power exactly. I am a bit freckly.
That's not a mutation. I mean, look at Magneto. He can manipulate metal using his magnetic powers.
I get easily sunburnt.
Ginger hair is not much of a mutation, though, is it? What use are you to us?
Well, whenever you're confronted by a gang of enemy bully boys and they'll see me and they'll be unable to resist kicking the crap out of me, and while they're doing that, you can just walk past and get on with all your special missions.
That's pretty amazing.
He's the best X-Man ever.
Ginger hair actually makes all our powers redundant.
The hell was that? You can't do a different accent every line. It's going to be the same character. Susan Calvin can do any accent, just not necessarily in the order you want them. That's the, you never know what will come out, but it'll be different every time.
Fine, South African. Ginger hair actually makes all our powers redundant.
Yeah, I think we've nailed that sketch.
Yeah.
Whilst I might be accused of having my ginger cake and eating it here, what annoys me about things like the Jimmy hat is the cheapness of the joke. Like, ginger hair in itself is enough of a punchline. When Rebecca Wade was being questioned about the News of the World phone tapping scandal recently, the press seemed more interested in comparing her to Medusa or Mick Hucknall than anything she might or might not have done. Ginger jokes are everywhere. Take this one.
I just saw that Harry Potter film. Bit unrealistic, if you ask me. I mean, a ginger kid with two friends.
fact, if you replace the word ginger with the word black or gay, there would be uproar, correctly. So is gingerism a kind of racism? There are certainly websites that argue that, even if often the tongue is firmly in the freckly cheek. Whilst gingerhead people might get teased and picked on as kids, you can't really equate their modern-day situation with the struggles for equality that come with race, sex and sexuality. It's the kind of stuff that's par for the course for anyone who's perceived as different or in a minority, and gingers are always in the minority. Even here in Scotland, though Scotland has the highest proportion of gingerhead people in the world, it's still only 13% of Scottish people who are redheads, which makes it interesting that's still seen as the national stereotype. About the same percentage of English people are over 65. Do we view England as a land of pensioners as a result? No, we don't. So it's odd that such a small group can create this stereotype. We don't want to live in a world where we can't make jokes about our differences. I'm just asking for better, less lazy jokes than the ones I've done in this show. It's a shame that kids will be bullied over something as stupid as the colour of their hair, but everyone has to deal with this stuff. I got bullied at school because I was fat and because my dad was the headmaster and I wore sensible Clark shoes instead of trainers and I carried my books to school in a briefcase. I was in the school band, so most days I was also carrying a trumpet case into school as well. I was like a buckaroo of bullying. I was how many things can we put on this kid before someone beats the spit out of him? But we're all bullied and we're all bullies as well, though most of us conveniently forget about the times we made other kids' lives hell. But we should celebrate our redheads because not all of them are werewolves and witches and prepared to betray Jesus. Probably only about 1 in 3 are like that. Let's give it up for Elizabeth I, Boadicea, Oliver Cromwell, Ron Weasley, Lily Cole, Amy Pond, oh yeah, Robin Cook, Winston Churchill, Lenin, Vivaldi, Tiffany and Johnny Rotten, which is not an often a musical trio you'll get in the same sentence. And we should also be celebrating more about Scotland than tartan bonnets and ginger hair. This is the country that brought us Robbie Burns, David Hume, pneumatic tyres, television and radio, arguably, microwaves, golf, marmalade, Peter Pan, sulfuric acid, come on, Sir Walter Scott, and a cure for scurvy, something you needed here due to the lack of fruit in the country. But there is much more diversity in this country than this hat implies. It encompasses people like Susan Kalman, people like Professor Reese, Jim Boardman, a man who makes funny hats, Russ Abbott's mum. Without her, we would have no Russ Abbott. And people like Jay, the manager of the Pride of Scotland, a student from India who doesn't know the name of Burns Night. That is what Scotland is about, diversity. I think the Jimmy hat still has its place in our country, because remember, I am Scotch, but it's not in tourist shops. In fact, I think it should become illegal to sell this item to anyone who is not from Scotland, but everyone who is from Scotland should be given one for free. And then all the diverse peoples of this proud country can put them on just on special occasions to show that despite their differences, they're Scottish and proud, but are also able to have a little laugh at themselves. Not every day, for sure. Probably only once every century. Probably just make it whenever Scotland gets into the World Cup finals. That's which is pretty much how it works at the moment. Just leave it as is. It's fine. Thank you very much for listening. Good night. Cheers.
Richard Herring's Objective was recorded at BBC Potter at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. It was written and performed by Richard Herring with me, Emma Kennedy and Susan Kalman. It was produced by Talisha Galani.